Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It's Fightful.com. It is May 7th. May the 7th be with you, Jeremy.
No, don't do that.
What?
Don't do that.
Why?
Because it was bad.
It's a cool thing to do, man.
No, I'll start this show over. That was horrible.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Fightful.com. It is May the 7th. May the 7th be with you, Jeremy. Like, you know, like Star Wars.
How are you
tonight? What's
up, you
guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful.com, May 7th, 2021. We got the throwback edition of SmackDown to talk about. Teddy Long popped up. We got some graphics. We got fisted rather softly.
It was a virtual fisting, you know. It's not the best thing in the world.
Still,
a little hollow, but you know.
We're also going to talk about some stories that FightfulSelect.com broke. So if you guys don't mind, subscribe. That stuff helps us so much. I got to be honest. I threw a bit of a BF, as they say, when I saw like so many end of month subscriptions fall off, and then by golly, we got them all back. It makes me so happy. I can't tell you.
What is a BF? You throw a boyfriend?
A bitch fit,
as they say.
On white girls, I think it is. Oh. I think that's what it was. A bitch fit, Jeremy. Okay. Right. I didn't really throw a bitch fit. I was like more like, oh. But we got them all back. People liked the news that we're putting out there. And Jeremy, one of those news bits was Daniel Bryan is actually a free agent. By the way, leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap that bell for notifications. Please donate a super chat. It'll get your question or statement read on the air, and it greatly supports what we're doing here. If you have something you want us to address, something you want us to go into detail on, or you just want whatever you want to say out there, donate that super chat. But Daniel Bryan, last week after his match with Roman Reigns, was an honest to God free agent, Jeremy. This surprised me a bit because we're used to the days of, quite frankly, when WWE knows that somebody is leaving, they bury them on their way out. They lose to EC3, and then EC3 is never on TV again.
And they put out a statement at like 2 o'clock in the morning that this person's leaving.
But as we wrote on FightfulSelect.com, WWE is hoping they can get him back. But your thoughts on this?
I think he's going to do, I said it on the award-winning Distraction Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/Fightful. I think he's going to do a tour, but I don't think that tour is going to include AEW, but I do think he'll wrestle AEW wrestlers. And then he'll return to WWE. That's what I think he's going to go to, like, AAA, wrestle like CMLL. He'll go overseas, and who's open there? Progress. Over there, he'll show up in the Honor Is Real. He might even show up in Impact. I think he'll wrestle an AEW guy somewhere along the line. It just won't be an AEW.
Yeah, there's just there's a lot to look forward to with the possibility of Daniel Bryan being a free agent. Right now, free agents, Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan, Andrade, that is CM Punk, technically, although, you know, he hasn't wrestled.
Don't.
It's a technical thing. Although I will say, I did have a WWE veteran. It's like, oh, I heard Punk'd AEW. And I was like, I didn't at all. But
Punk ain't coming back. Let's just
probably not. Probably not. I'd say about 85% he ain't coming back. But I mean, just the sheer fact that there's that many people out there with the competitive acquisitions, I guess you could say, so to speak. I mean, WWE and AEW jockeying for position for Alex Gracia right now, for the love of God, Jeremy.
It's a good time. I mean, you know, it used to be they were just scooping up everybody. But now that things are starting to open back up a little bit, AEW's in a nice little spot, Wednesdays to theirself and everything. Impact's gaining some buzz with the AEW partnership. New Japan's always going to be there. It's a good time to kind of be a free agent again. I mean, some of these people didn't. It wasn't their choice, like Samoa Joe. I don't know if he wanted to be a free agent, but here he is.
Evan Wright says, DB, retirement tour ends with Daniel Garcia. Book it. It'd be honestly an awesome, great match. It'd be a great match. Daniel Garcia is incredible. John Alba kind of put me on to him in some incredible stuff there. But I'm with you. I think he's going to go out there. He's going to do the things that maybe he's teased. Otherwise, I'm on the Voices of Wrestling side of things where I'm like, man, you gotta kind of shut the fuck up about all these other people. But these are questions he's answering. Like, usually he's not just out there saying, oh, I'd love to wrestle all these other people.
Brian Moxley, GCW. Mark it down. Brian Moxley and GCW. You're going to see it. It's my prediction.
Oh man, get those super chats in, guys. I can't tell you how much those help us. The throwback edition of SmackDown, Fightful Select reported today that we would not get fisted hard. The fist was not there. And then I had somebody else who was there when the fist was around that said, yeah, if it wasn't up by 11 a.m., it ain't going up, buddy. But we did get a CGI fist, Jeremy. I prefer that to nothing.
I'm glad they worked the fist in there. They could have done an Ovaltron. I don't think, you know, people with the throwback edition, this wasn't a WWE call, right? Because like they just announced this last week. Fox Sports has been advertising throwback week the entire time. Fox has been advertising throwback week. I don't feel like this was a WWE call. I don't know how much notice they got on this. Usually for this stuff, we see it all the time with Raw Reunion. They do it to pop the rating. They're like, oh, we're going to have this guy here and that guy there. We had a Teddy Long cameo, but they didn't promote like anybody. There was no Undertaker. I thought Edge was going to come back this week. There was no Edge, like Kurt Angle. Like, they didn't promote anybody. So I think this was like real quickly put on WWE because it was a Fox and Fox Sports thing.
Yeah, a Fox thing. And if they did do it on short notice, I thought they did a pretty solid job, all things considered.
Yeah, 1985 SmackDown, my favorite year.
Yeah, we had Pat McAfee dressed as Vince McMahon. You had Michael Cole in his denim jacket. Fun enough. Fine. Hannah M. says, it's still a pandemic. Virtual is the safest. Yeah, they didn't need to drag that fist down there, but they do have a goddamn screen that they can put anything on, possibly. Have that thing busting open the screen, for the love of God. Valab says, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I said, I think Hannah means that being virtually fisted is the safest during a pandemic.
Yeah, true. I mean, I would agree. And they didn't overdo it with the fisting. They were very gentle with it. They were very subtle with the fisting, which sometimes you got to be. Valab says, they called it Throwback SmackDown, but presented it like it was Throwback WWE. That happened to be SmackDown with the 80s, early 90s aesthetic. The cheek on WWE Twitter for the AR fish tweet, too. There's definitely some stuff they could have leaned more into, like the ring ropes, but they had the referees wearing the blue shirt, seeing Charles Robinson in that. It did feel very nostalgic to me, but yeah.
It was fine.
Dominic Mysterio was on the show, like a true throwback SmackDown.
I don't know how. Yeah, it doesn't seem like they had a lot of time to put this together. I would prefer like they don't lean heavy into it and rely on all these old people, because We saw that with Raw reunions. Like, great, you rely on these guys, and then they're gone the next week, and your show is just back to normal. It just felt like they did their normal SmackDown show with a couple of different aesthetics, and then they had some video packages in there. I liked it, honestly.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a throwback SmackDown without Throwback 27. He says, have an amazing night, guys. Everyone here is amazing. Thank you for making every Friday night special. If they do any old school set stuff, they have a warehouse full of it. Still love how things looked. Yeah, I mean, it's easy. It's easy to do. And thank you, Throwback. I appreciate you, man. But yeah, it's easy to do once a year on each brand. Have a little bit of fun. Whatever. And honestly, I thought the show was fine.
Oh, that was good. Again, it felt like SmackDown with a different aesthetic. It was kind of nice. Like, I wish they don't need to do this every week or anything, but like you said, you want to do this once a year. You don't have to bring back these legends for this stuff. Just kind of give us a different look every now and again, especially at the Thunderdome where it's the same thing every single week. So I actually really liked it.
I'm not too sure what this means. Dylan says, check WWE. They sent a 2006 intro. It's amazing. What am I missing here?
If you go to WWE's Twitter, they did, you know, like the 2006 SmackDown intro. They did that with like the current people.
I love those. I love when anybody puts those together. I saw somebody on Reddit who did a Raw is War intro with Seinfeld clips spliced in there, and I liked it.
Tremendous.
I'm a sucker for that type of thing. But it's time to talk about the actual show. Reminder, guys, leave a thumbs up. I can't tell you how important that is if you are watching live. We got the show kicked off. And we got a eulogy for Daniel Bryan. There's a 10-bell salute from the mouth of Paul Heyman, which I thought was very funny. It seemed like Reigns was about to crack a little bit there.
Yeah.
But then he says he's replacing Daniel Bryan, and he brings back Jimmy Uso. Oh, I'm so happy about this for many reasons. One, I'm glad Jimmy's back. Two, it's great for story. Three, I am so glad I don't have to answer, where is Jimmy Uso? I don't know anymore.
Sean is there, you know. Yes, there he is. Where's Jimmy Uso? He's on your television, everybody. Just pay attention.
Yes, yes. Jimmy Uso back. The SmackDown Tag Team Division needed this real bad.
It does, but are they a tag team? Like, I don't know. I don't know where we're going here just yet, which is good. I think they will eventually be a tag team again, but it doesn't seem like they're going to jump in and do a tag team thing right yet. It seems like they're going to do kind of stuff with Roman a little bit first, so, which is good, because if they jump back into the tag team division, like you probably just put the titles back on them, because the division's not very good and they can easily carry things. So I like they're going to be with Roman a little bit. The division definitely needs them though.
Yeah, I mean, we're rocking with like five tag teams right now, six if you include Apollo and Dabba Kato, which you can't really count right now. But Cesaro comes out and he says there's no replacing Bryan, and then he gets attacked by Rollins. Now, boy, did I like what followed here. Now, if Seth Rollins would have, won some matches since WrestleMania, they could have just called this a number one contenders match, and it could have added a little bit more intrigue. But Teddy Long pops up and says if Cesaro wins, then he gets a title shot at WrestleMania Backlash. I don't know if there is a more SmackDown name than Teddy Long. So they didn't bring in a bunch of people. So what? Teddy Long is closely associated with this brand, and I thought he was very entertaining all night. I love Teddy Long being back there.
Yeah, Teddy Long was a nice surprise because, again, they didn't advertise any of the old school guys, so you didn't know if anybody was going to show up or not. I saw people speculating that JBL might be there. He wasn't. At least he wasn't on television. So it was nice that Teddy Long was there because he was the general manager for a very long time. And yeah, I mean, as far as wrestlers go, there's obviously bigger names, but like Teddy Long and SmackDown go hand in hand.
So we get the match. This ruled. The opening promo ruled. It kicked ass. And then we get a really good match. Cesaro and Seth Rollins. One of my favorite spots is Rollins doing his flip spot off the ropes where Cesaro yanks him up. And then Cesaro tees the neutralizer. And I hate distractions. And I loathe distraction finishes.
How dare you?
I do. I loathe them. Especially, except, you know, when they pay for ad time. Then whatever. Speaking of, we got a super chat that says, comment on from Jeremy on Jimmy Van's ad disapproval.
You can see my comments Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Listen Your Boy, because I've got money, I got my raise, and I will continue to pay for ads.
Whatever pays the bills for the Listen Your Boy. Yeah. You know what? I don't have to approve of the content, but I can approve of the checks clearing. And that's what I'm here for. I sell the ads on this website. So this match was really, really good. The distraction costing Seth Rollins the match, him being such a loose cannon that he pushes down Jay, and Jimmy's like, no, we're not doing that. And the smooth neutralizer from Cesaro. This leads to a lot of questions, and it led to plenty of questions for Roman Reigns. But the match itself, were you in favor of that finish happening like that? We knew Cesaro was going to win.
The one part I didn't like, I mean, it's a distraction finish, but the one part I didn't like is, so they're on the outside fighting, and Cesaro gets back in the ring. Rollins gets on the apron. Cesaro goes after Rollins. The ref holds back Cesaro. Why would he do that? What's Charles Robinson doing? Hey, don't hit this guy while he's getting up on the apron. Like, when does this ever happen? It should have been Cesaro just like knocked him down, and then Jimmy like tries to check on Seth or something. Seth shoves him down, or Jay tries to check on Seth. Seth shoves him down. Jimmy hits a super kick, and then go from there. Like, it was just weird that the ref was like, hey, don't touch this guy right here. I didn't like that part. Otherwise,
it's a throwback when referees were men.
Seth Rollins got screwed, Sean.
Because this was an Undertaker, you know, Undertaker's the ultimate throwback. Everybody on the show tonight carried a knife backstage. That's what happened. They were all men tonight.
They should do this whole time. My man Seth got screwed on that, though. All right. Otherwise, I like that. He got screwed also by it should have been a number one contenders match. Okay, fine. He hasn't beaten anybody. Whatever, but like, Seth needs something in this. Seth should have been like, I ain't doing this match. Forget it. I got nothing to gain.
It would have been so easy to just book him to win a couple matches the last couple weeks. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not like WWE has ever cared about that. I wouldn't have liked it, but it's like, okay, they've done it plenty anyway.
I mean, they're giving Bayley a title shot based on her doing nothing for the past 3 months.
So if you see me looking off screen, I am focused, but Cincinnati Reds, Wade Miley carrying a no-hitter into the eighth inning.
Oh, my God. I don't put that on. I'm watching Anthony Johnson kill a man. That's what I was just watching.
I'm missing that. So Seth Rollins goes backstage, and he's like, I want to know who I should be pissed off at. I want to know who I should be mad at right now. And Roman's like, I'm going to take care of it. This is what I want to see. This is one of those things that AEW is thriving so well at right now, weaving not just one or two stories in together, but weaving the Roman interaction with the Usos in, weaving Cesaro in, playing off of the history of Daniel Bryan last week, playing off the storyline that happened last year with the Usos and Reigns, playing off of Seth Rollins. And then I'm like, what's going to happen with Seth Rollins? There are so many question marks here. This is what I want. I want to have no idea where this is going to go. And I don't know where it's going to go with Seth Rollins. What are you seeing here?
This is where they've got to like keep it up, though. I'm with you. I'm all for them weaving storylines in and out and stuff. We kind of saw it earlier this year with like Brian and Kevin Owens, and then they just dropped it because Brian just went elsewhere. Like, they can do this. We know they can do this. There's enough history with all these wrestlers to where they can easily weave stories in and out. They just got to keep it up, though. So where do I see it going? I don't think going anywhere, because I think they're going to drop it in a week. If they actually decide to keep going with it, I still think Rollins is kind of like almost a mini Shield reunion where they're like using each other, because they're both heels, and Rollins can't be the top heel with Roman on the show. It's just not possible. But Rollins has always been positioned at the top of the card. So where they're like using each other, but they don't know that they're using each other. There's the subtle nods that they do know. And then eventually you get kind of like the Seth Rollins, like big baby face turn out of this, and then you do that program. I think, I mean, that's where I would go with it. Where they actually go, again, I expect them to forget it in a week.
The fact that we're questioning it because it's Friday and not Monday means there's a little bit of hope at least.
Yes.
Ricardo Holt says Cesaro looks like he was dripping in money tonight, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to go straight into the main event segment here. But Jimmy is not happy about the way that Jay is talked to in any of that. And Jimmy is like, I'm not a bitch for Roman like you are, Jay. And Anthony Velasquez says, I'm really into Jimmy Uso, not taking any crap from Roman. It wouldn't have made sense if he did, since we last saw him on TV. Roman choked him out to beat Jay. I thought a lot of this made sense. At first, he was like, you know what? Maybe time heals all wounds. He's family, whatever. But as soon as Roman Reigns started to talk down to him, he's like, no, it hasn't changed. You haven't changed. And just so you know, I haven't either. I'm not down with this shit. I thought that was a really good touch. I thought it was the opposite of what WWE does, usually insulting the intelligence. And it made me feel rewarded for watching the show last year.
Yeah, I'm glad Jimmy didn't just come back and, all right, we're the Usos, here we go. We're just Roman's henchmen and yes, probably going to lose a bunch of main event singles matches, but be the tag team champions type deal. You're right. They did reward you for paying attention last year. I love that Jimmy showed some character here, and now we've just got to see. We got to see where it goes, and hopefully they've got something good for this, because I will say that main event thing, like Jimmy getting back in the ring and getting taken out and everything, I kind of would have left that. I would have just, you know, Jay can go in there, get his ass kicked and everything. I would have let Jimmy just chill on the ramp and just be like, you know, you made your decision. I'm not quite down with that. We'll see what happens. Him getting back in the ring leads me to believe, all right, maybe they'll just do the Roman and Usos deal, but we shall see.
So we have a nice super chat from Steven Yeager, who says, with Roman hitting final boss level heel status, if you could choose one guy to push as the next major face of the company to feud with Roman over the next decade and have a Rock Austin type feud, who would it be? Ooh, that's a good question.
Decade?
The next decade.
See, a lot of their guys are old.
that's a lot. We're talking about a couple guys that are probably going to be 45 each.
Yeah. Like, I like Cesaro, but he's old.
He's old.
I like Kevin 40. Owens. He's also old. Like they've got good talent. Like, you probably have to go to like NXT or something, right? And
if we see how Big E performs at a top level and he knocks it out of the park, I think it could be him. Like, if he connects, especially with live crowds, and they're like, all right, and they let him cut the type of promos he's been cutting, it's like, all right, I could see some interesting stuff there. A couple of guys who came into WWE around the same time but had significantly different career paths. One had to kind of overcome a lot to get a singles run. The other one had a lot of stuff handed to him in that sense. I think maybe he could be one. Steven Yeager says average of top guys on the roster is 35 years old. That might even be... You might be underselling it, buddy. It might be older than that. Most of their styles or personas don't meld well with Roman. Yeah. Even Adam Cole and Pete Dunne are the youngest, and they're much better heels than faces. And if Adam Cole or Pete Dunne are feuding with Roman Reigns, they're going to have to be, wait till you see them next to each other, my friend. Because they're going to be playing some fiery underdog baby faces then.
See, it's either they're old or like Big E's a good shout, but I feel like I've seen Big E on WWE television for like a decade now. Like, you're talking Rock Austin, they were at the peak of their powers and they were on television for like two or three years before that. So, like,
all these people have been on TV longer than Rock and Austin were there, period. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
And a lot of this goes into Vince McMahon having trust issues over Brock leaving so quick. And him never quite pushing anybody like that again. You got it. There are some people that have to be brought in immediately and treated as huge deals. And that's also a bit that's the downside of NXT, because somebody, you lose your way out of NXT, regardless of what Triple H and Shawn Michaels try to convince you. People lose on their way out of NXT usually. I don't think Karrion Kross will, but Dylan says the main roster really has no youth. Sheesh. Yeah.
It ain't there. It really ain't there.
Which, like, It's not as bad when the longevity of a wrestler is a lot longer now than it used to be. So if you're getting people up there at 30, 33, that's okay, because these careers are going to last a lot longer. So what we saw was Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso come out, and Roman Reigns says that Jimmy needs to go home if he's not going to acknowledge him. And perhaps the weirdest part of this was they threw to a video package in the middle of this. It's like, man, we remember. We know.
See, they want to reward you for watching, but they also want to remind you in case, you know, you weren't watching what was going on. Hey, I don't like mind that stuff. The problem with it is it just comes off so awkward when you're just throwing to these video packages.
And like, play them when they're coming down the ramp. The last time we saw Jimmy Uso was, okay, well then show us. It's so much easier to do it like that. And I don't know why they didn't. And then Cesaro comes out as Jimmy Uso walks away, and he beats everybody's ass.
Yeah.
And it was great. And Jimmy did not save Roman. He saved Jey. He saved his brother. But that didn't matter because Cesaro beat that ass anyway, left them all laying. This was good. They went up to Roman Reigns and they said, buddy, we got to make Cesaro look strong. Roman said, okay.
It was great. Like, Cesaro came off like a total star on this show. Beat Seth Rollins. Could have used quite without the distraction. Even with the distraction finish, though, at least he took out Jimmy with the plancha over the top, and then, you know, came in with that sweet neutralizer. So got a big win over Seth Rollins to earn the title shot. End of the show, laid out all three of them. I was very worried that the numbers game, Sean, was going to catch up and they were just going to lay out Cesaro. Yes. And it's like, oh man, nah, what are we doing? Cesaro looked like a friggin' star, man. I don't think he's winning next week. I'd be very surprised if he does, but they've sold me. They've sold me. I'm like, yeah, here we go. Cesaro's time, baby. Swiss, get them dad jokes in there, baby.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see this pay-per-view match. I bet it is going to be incredible. And I'm very, very excited for that. Guys, make sure you all tune in. I think it's Thursday evening. I'll be joined by Jennifer Louise of Cultaholic Inside the Rope. She does a lot of stuff for our prediction show. And then, of course, after Backlash, Denise joins me. Kate Hensler says, distraction finishes can F off more than anything has effed off in the history of effing off before. I was very proud of my Cody tweet today. I popped myself with that one. You ain't beating this super chat tonight, my friends.
No, that's actually a factual statement. Yes. Like, the other thing that was written, that's very factual.
Throwback says, when Lee comes back, he'd be the perfect babyface for Roman to feud with for a few years. People forget he's still working for WWE. When he gets back, watch out. I got to see the promo work be at a different gear and a different level than what we've seen it before. Although the line, I don't have those kind of resources, man, when he was talking to JBL, was one of my favorite lines of WWE of the last few years. Keith Lee, I could see a possibility of that. But again, I think the promo work needs to be there.
Yeah. And Keith Lee's just got to get back and he's got to get him back first. And then I'll worry about what they're going to do with him.
Our friend Bob Harris says, thanks for the info on the BTW merch sale. I got a Burt autograph Funko Wednesday night. Well, I'm glad you did, man. They reached out to me and said, yeah, we're running shows. You want to get involved? And I was like, whoa. So I don't know. Maybe I'll be seeing you if I end up doing that, Bob. We'll see how that goes. But glad we could get that info for you. And if you need anything, just hit us up. Ray says, Roman saying he wouldn't beat down Jimmy. I hope he sticks to that and references how even though Jimmy was mad at him, he chose family in the end. Jimmy, by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. He was like, you're being used by Roman. I'll tell you what serves the family is us being tag team champions. Well, I like that an awful lot too, because that puts over the tag titles. But
yeah. Why can't they be the champions with Roman though? They hold all the gold right then. Then you're really serving the family.
Yeah. Fair. Crimson 94 says WWE has no youth because they've been relying on the past for the last 15 years without building anyone besides forcing Roman and Charlotte. You're not wrong there, but it hasn't been just them. There've been a couple others, but I don't think that you're wrong. I think they've compromised and sacrificed a whole lot of talent building in order to put over those two specifically. And I think that they should do a little bit better than that. Well,
through eight, Sean.
MC Carvalho says, I have a feeling the person who said they were worried that Diva-esque wrestling match times are back looked like it's happening. When Johnny Ace got brought back into the fold, that was something that a women's WWE wrestler still on the roster, before any of you go say, well, it must have been Chelsea. Somebody who's still on the roster said they were very worried that their match times would get cut and that a lot of that methodology would continue. Ruby Riott had a very nice sell of a kick in the corner, a very nice finish in Dakota Silence with Carmella, but gone are the days of her having like really good 8 to 15 minute matches on Raw, holding that division together. She was like the glue for a little bit doing that. I'm glad Carmella's getting a win. I'm glad Ruby's on TV, but this just is not what I was hoping to see.
It is very nice that this matchup felt fresh. I don't feel like I've seen Carmella and Ruby Riott for 30 weeks in a row. The problem was I didn't feel like it meant anything because it went 2 minutes and then it ended. And now I have a feeling we'll probably see it for 30 weeks in a row.
Yep. I think that Ruby and Liv both deserve so much more than this. Quite frankly, I think Carmella deserves more than this. Carmella is better in the ring than anyone gives credit for. Yeah. And then we went into the Bayley segment, which I really liked. She's putting all these former champions on the screen. I'm pretty sure all of her facts were wrong. I think she said Alundra Blaze held the title for 3 years. I don't think that she did. I think
Alundra's going to turn this into a shoot now, and she's going to work an angle and try to get on television with Bayley.
Well, she definitely is, because if there was anything that she took from that, it was not that Jacqueline was the only cruiserweight champion that was a woman, because Alundra Blaze was also a cruiserweight champion that's a woman. And if we know anything about Medusa, she will correct Bayley on that fact. But she put over a lot of the women that had preceded her and said, Bianca will never get to that level, but I will be her last title defense, so to speak. What did you think of the delivery for that before we even got Bianca out there? I'm thinking it's pretty good. I like the hair. I like the goofy laugh.
God, these laughs, man.
I love it.
You would. The hair, I don't know. That was a choice. I mean, I like the choice, but it was certainly a choice. It definitely made her more unlikable. I mean, Bayley's tremendous. It was a nice little bit of, hey, here's all these people who are really good, and then here's Bianca, and I'm just going to take her title because she's not on the level of any of these people. It was a nice little segment. It was good that Bayley get more promo time a little bit, because I feel like she's been robbed of promo time for a while now.
And I liked Bianca's stuff too. Actually, I was talking with an AEW wrestler during this, and they were like, man, Bianca is so good. Bayley is so good. And they told me they hadn't watched WWE in, quite frankly, a long time. And those were two of the people that stood out to them. They're like, man, Bianca is so effortlessly good at what she does. And I thought she was. She didn't come off forced here. And I like how Bayley got the upper hand. The earring standing on the hair. This was simple and effective. We didn't need a tag team match.
No.
It was simple.
It was nice because Bianca had the counter when Bayley went for the takedown. So Bianca was studying the tape there. And then Bayley adapted and still got one up on her. So now Bianca's got to go back in the gym, got to look at the tape study a little bit more and figure out how to counter the counter. I like this. I like the little games they're playing and their interactions and their physicality.
Crimson said, if you hate DQ matches, F off to AEW. They haven't done a single one, and I love it. I do love it. I do think that AEW has its own faults, too. They rely on gang wars an awful lot and that type of stuff, but I'll take it over unclean finishes. Bob says, it's a Brett autograph Funko. Autocorrect hates me. Well, I appreciate you regardless. And Throwback says, I kept hearing Throwback on my TV, and I said hello every time. I must be special, LOL, not. Still have a great night again. It'd be like one of those, if you had your Alexa thing set up. Do you remember when Raw was setting off people's Alexa devices?
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're trying to do right now?
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get him to send me jerseys by just constantly reminding him and putting him over.
I'm waiting for my title. I've been told a title is coming at some point. I don't know what this is about. Yeah.
Well, I've been told a lot of things are coming. And if you want, no, I'm just kidding. Tamina defeated Reginald. I actually liked most of this too. They showed Tamina's Talking Smack promo, which I thought was good. I thought Reginald's promo backstage was good. I thought the in-ring with Tamina and Reginald was a lot of fun. The avoiding of all the strikes, because Reginald's a little bit faster, more acrobatic than Tamina, but I don't get having a DQ finish. I don't know why we can't have Tamina just beat Reginald, Jeremy.
You got to protect Reginald. Reginald's like, I think he lost to Sasha, but he's got a win over Nia. Yeah. He has a win over Nia. He's like, you got to protect this man. Sean, that's who you do your 10-year feud with Roman. Reginald, baby. There you go.
I've got Reginald on the roster, but I've got him listed as a non-wrestler. But if I add him to the wrestler roster, do I add him to the women's division?
Maybe. That's like all he's wrestled, right? So
yeah, eventually. He's only wrestled women and never anyone else. I like the beatdown after this, too. It looked good. They Samoan dropped Tamina into the barricade. This was really short, but the women, I think, got three back-to-back-to-back segments. So it was like probably about a 20-25-minute segment of the show. It's just the two matches were so short. There were some things like we did. I don't know if we needed a 10-man tag, and if we needed a 10-man tag, it could have been a 3-minute spot fest. That could have been fine. The women need a little bit more to sink their teeth into. And while I liked the on screen of what they all did, I just don't know if this is a positive trend so far, what we're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, Ruby and Carmella definitely deserved more time. This match, like, I'm fine if you don't want to give it like a ton of time. I do a different match, you know. You don't have to have Reginald in there doing this match. You could better set up your tag team title match next week, because I'm pretty sure like Nia and Shayna have beaten Natalya and Tamina like three times or something. I don't know why we're getting a rematch between these two teams. You know, maybe give like Tamina and Natalya a win. Maybe have them beat a team to justify a tag team title match here. The women definitely deserve more time with their matches. The 10-man tag, I don't know why that was even on the show. I mean, the matches seem short tonight outside of Cesaro and Rollins, though. Everything was just kind of short. The Cesaro and Roman stuff like really dominated the show, which probably should. It's the best stuff on the show. The wrestling was just very secondary tonight.
Dylan says Reginald's winning a women's title, book it, Vince. I think they know that would be a terrible decision.
That's why they'll do it.
Yeah. Bezos says, Bayley loves activating the best friend card, first fixing Sasha's wig at Extreme Rules, now using Sasha's laugh to get on Bianca's nerves. Genius. I don't think WWE thinks that deep. I think Bayley might.
Yes.
But I don't think WWE does.
Definitely not.
Cyclops says, show wasn't old school, but no one even had a knife. Buddy, you tuned in late.
Yeah.
You tuned in late, Cyclops. I appreciate you, but you tuned in late. I already made that one. Racist Throwback is making two titles. I'm beating Anakin for the other one, and I'm handing it over to Jeremy. Take that, Joel Pearl.
Oh,
you all are really the worst show on Fightful, doing the finger poke of doom with these titles.
Even. I don't know anything about this. Okay, they're shooting their own stuff. We got our actual angles going that we put some thought into.
My God. So Dominic comes out with Rey. And this is to build up, what is it? Is it WrestleMania Backlash? He's got a tag team title match, and Dolph is talking trash, and he goads him into a match, goads Dominic into the match, pronouns, pal. And you can see this coming a mile away. It's all right. It's whatever. But it's Dolph, who already talks too much during his matches, talking even more. And I mean, he doesn't take Dominic seriously. Dominic, who again was on SmackDown before he or Robert Roode ever were. And oh man, It's like, okay, we see it. We know what's happening here. Small package, win.
This Dolph's hair, tremendous. Tremendous hair on Dolph Ziggler. I wish he would have gone throwback and, you know, just shave the whole thing like he used to have it. But, man, I can't get excited for this match. They announced this tag team title match. We were playing Booty Pro, and I'm just like, here we go. This is the match. You know, Joseph is excited. He loves the Dirty Dogs. Do you know how to say it, Sean?
Dirty Dogs.
There you go. That's very good, actually. Yeah. That's very good. He loves them, and I'm just like, possibly care about this match.
I get liking them because, let's be real, it's better to use them together than use them separately and take up two segments. And they're a good team, but also the way that they have been booked and the redundant of their storylines is like,
they got pinned last week. It was in the six person tag match. They got pinned by the Street Profits. And Dominic and Ray get a title shot. I mean, they did beat Alpha Academy, which is cool, but they're just doing this match. They'll have their moment. Like, Ray and Dominic will win. They'll be like, oh, father, son tag team win. They're all about moments in WWE, Sean. So they'll get their moment out of this. Dominic gets the victory because Dolph wasn't taking him serious, even though Dominic's been on the roster for almost a year now. And he probably has a victory over Dolph in a tag team match or something, I'd imagine. But Dolph still doesn't take him serious for
Dominic. Have they ever had father-son tag champs? Am I missing something? Somebody let me know. I'm sure I'll think. Somebody asked what direction is the TV that the Reds is on. This way. And they just went up 1-0. So Wade. And a balk! A balk!
2-0.
I love it. They got to put Miley in. He's over 100 pitches. Who cares?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. We're going to be. Let's hurry up and wrap up.
When elbows were men. But you know what? Whether you are a newcomer like Dominic Mysterio or a grizzled veteran with experience like Dolph Ziggler, if you don't want to rely on your small package to get the big finish for you, check out BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Their tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED or just that lack of confidence. Maybe you don't have the reps. Maybe you're new at this and you're like, you know what? I want to make sure I perform. Well, Blue Chew is an online prescription service. No visits to the doctor's office, awkward conversations, waiting in line at the pharmacy. Ship straight to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA. They prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. That's because Blue Chew has licensed medical providers that work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescriptions. If you don't like swallowing pills, no problem. It's a chewable. It's all done online. You're approved, you consult with one of their licensed medical providers in the opposite order that I just mentioned, and you'll get your prescription in days. It's all done online. Don't finish in 3 minutes like some of these segments did. Go all night. I mean, maybe you're not a newcomer. Maybe you're thinking of better days and you want a bit of a throwback, and you don't want to rely on your fist to satisfy somebody. You don't have to pull out CGI tricks. You're going for the real deal. BlueChew.com. And how about this? Use that code FIGHTFUL. Get your first shipment free. First shipment free. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. Use the code FIGHTFUL. Well, Evan Wright said, best heel in the business with a win, baby.
John, we're going to talk about how this match got set up.
Yeah, go ahead. That was great. I liked that.
Teddy Long. Do the Teddy Long dance, Sean.
Doing the Teddy Long dance. Come on. But I do love how it got set up. Ricardo Holt said, when women's champions were men.
Do the Teddy Long dance, Sean.
I ain't doing that. So Teddy Long's backstage talking to Sami Zayn, and he says, you're going to go one-on-one with The Undertaker. And that doesn't happen. Because he's retired. I think you just want to show off your shirt.
My mom got me this for Christmas. Karaoke champ.
Did she have it made?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So we've got also them trying to, or Teddy Long putting together a tag team match. But at one point, he makes Sami Zayn think it's a 5-on-2, which is just as funny to me. But it is a match where King Corbin, Otis, Chad Gable, Apollo Crews, and Sami Zayn beat Nakamura, Street Profits, Kevin Owens, and Big E. My notes on this match were Big E shows his athleticism, and then people just decide to die. Kevin Owens takes a suplex on the back of his head on the floor. The only update I got was that he's okay. I don't know if Otis is okay, because I don't know if he forgot to catch Montez, but I bet you he remembered about the time that Montez's foot was flying towards his face. I'm not sure if he remembers it now, but also Chad Gable got bounced around on the floor. This was wild. And then Corbin, who's not involved in the storyline, gets the win.
Remember when they were heating up Shinsuke near the Rumble? People were like, oh man, this is it. Shinsuke, it's his time again. And now he's just been like off of television since then, and now just getting pinned in 10-man tag to Baron Corbin. Poor dude. He's surfing though, Sean. You know, he's surfing.
Let the man surf. Corbin pins Nakamura with the End of Days. That's really all there is to this match.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, I guess. Nakamura, like of all the things, like of everybody to give a win in that, I would have picked him last.
He hit his finish. They love that finish. They don't let anybody kick out of it. Still very like, protected.
Like, what about Zayn, who's trying to get into a title picture and hasn't won since like June?
I don't know what this sets up. I don't know what this accomplished. It was just, let's do a 10-man tag for the sake of doing a 10-man tag. They didn't really advance anything. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, the heels were kind of united at the end. Like,
yeah,
that was good, I guess. Just a match. That's it. Just a match.
That's Throwback SmackDown. Ray Callahan says, I wanted Shinsuke to say, we want the surf. Well, you know what, guys? While we're here, finishing up as the Reds are in the ninth inning, starting to whip that ass, send us some super chats. Leave us a thumbs up. We'll plug our stuff. I have an interview with Jeff Jarrett that dropped yesterday. We talk a lot of stuff that you haven't heard him talk about in his other 42 interviews. And I interviewed Steve Macklin, the former Steve Cutler, over an hour. And we talked about a whole lot of stuff. I mean, everything you could possibly cover about his career in WWE, which is 85% of his career we covered. And it was a really, really good interview. I've got the former Sin Cara, the former Junico on Monday. Of course, we talked about him beating that ass of everybody backstage. We talked about him fighting Sheamus. We talked about him fighting Simon Gotch. We talked about him fighting Chris Jericho. We talked about the treatment of Mexican talent in WWE, creative plans for him and Catalina when they were brought up on Raw, or when she was brought up on Raw. We got into a whole lot of stuff there. I asked him if he's ridden a bicycle since Junico. I pitched him a Kofi Kingston spot with the bicycle. All kinds of good stuff there. And every week this month in May, we're dropping a new interview, usually probably the second half of the week, with a star or talent from the 90s. So check that out. We started it off with Jeff Jarrett. Jeremy, what do you got going on? I know twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, of course. I let them have early access to my scoop last night.
That is true. Yeah, the Impact scoop was big. I wasn't on that stream, so I don't know. But wow. Apparently it was good. Yeah, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Usually we do a show Fridays at 11:30. Not tonight. I have a date tonight. That's more important than trying to entertain the masses. All right? But we
with
are
the
there.
EP.
With the EP, yes.
All right.
She's over here sleeping.
But
we did play Booty Pro. We did play Booty Pro today. Go check that out. We'll be uploading some Twitch stuff to Fightful Scraps. Go sign up to Fightful Scraps. You know, go subscribe to that. YouTube.com. See, I'll plug your stuff too, Sean. YouTube.com.
Well, it's Kyler's stuff. Kyler runs that whole thing. I tell him like what to put over there. But yeah, YouTube.com/FightfulScraps, guys. That is where you can get a bunch of our clips. And by popular demand, we are adding our show clips in addition to the interview clips as well. But please go over there, subscribe, and share that stuff. It helps an awful lot. Kyler is putting in a lot of work over there. He got a promotion a while back. So Ricardo Holt says, why do guys hate to catch Montez Ford? Well, by now they just have him scouted, Jeremy. They're like, this match is okay. Well, we know what Montez is going to do. He's flipping over the top rope. So Sean Ross Sapp gets tricked into thinking it's a good match. Ray Callahan says, Macklin calling Dion a tough bitch popped me. I mean, she is. She is a tough one. I won't call her that. But Brandon Campbell says, if you're keeping score at home, Corbin also eliminated Shinsuke from the Rumble and the Andre. See, I wish they'd play off of that. I wish they would. Nakamura would get pissed about that and they would have a match and it would make sense that way. Richie Goodacre, which is a cool name, says, I don't get why Corbin won this. What does he get out of it? I thought maybe they'd have someone pin Cruz to set up a program. At this point, I think Corbin deserves in the title picture as much as Sami Zayn.
Yeah. Maybe that's where they're going. Maybe Baron Corbin, Intercontinental Champion, best heel in the business. That's where they're going.
There you go. Guys, please leave a thumbs up, subscribe. Retro reviews are back on Fightful Select tomorrow. By the time you hear this, it's probably up. Heat Wave 1998, myself and Meetul from, who you guys might remember from OMG, did a retro review. And I don't necessarily have a timetable on when these will release. When we get them, they'll go up. Whatever.
We got the Holy Grail. Joseph and I reviewed a November 1995
episode. We haven't posted
that yet? No. We
didn't. That was a pilot.
Yeah, it's just in the archives, and so, I have it. I have the footage.
Not to delay your date or anything, but here's the behind the scenes, guys. Jimmy would get on the air all the time, be like, Fightful Select on the website. It's coming. Had the balls to say on the air after I asked him not to. I'm thinking into January. Evidently, he meant January 2022. And I even said, Jimmy, let's not say a date, because what happens is some people will cancel our Patreon service, which is where it resides now. And they'll be like, oh, well, I'm just waiting. And a few people did. We ain't anywhere near it being on the site yet. Nowhere near. Jeremy, do you know how many figure haul videos I have in the can waiting? 36.
You asked Joseph and I, you're like, hey, do you guys want to do the retro reviews for when it moves to the site? We're like, yeah. You didn't give us a date or anything, in fairness to you. We're like, yeah, that's fine. It's like, we might as well just start doing them now, because I thought it was, I didn't think you'd bring it to me if it wasn't like kind of close and everything.
Well, I thought it was.
I know. This is not on you. So we did one for November, and we're just like, is it gonna get posted?
Yeah, I asked y'all to do this in October, but like, this isn't burying Jeremy or Jimmy or the team either. Like, we thought things would progress a lot faster. And now, like, I very much want an app if Fightful Select launches on the site, because that's one of the things people like an awful lot about Fightful Select right now on Patreon, is it comes to them via the app. I want you guys to have all the things that they have over there. But right now we have 36 retro reviews already up. So Rob Wilkins is also filming a retro review of his own. I'm just letting people do it, because when I asked you guys, what do you all want to see more of on Fightful Select? I thought people might say something different, but everybody was like, retro reviews. So by God, we'll do them. We got a bunch up there. Me and Warren Hayes did a ton of them. If you want to watch one, watch AWA Super Clash 3, in which he requested, and I was very upset at by the time we reviewed that. My God.
Joseph will be reviewing retro matches Monday on the Twitch at 5 p.m. Eastern. So we've kind of done some retro stuff.
So if you're into that. Do you all show the matches, or is that just the review?
Sometimes we will, because we did a watch along of Austin and Rock from WrestleMania 19. And then, of course, we pull the video on demand. For this, because he's reviewing like five matches, we won't actually show the matches. But we do watch alongs of old events, old matches and stuff, but it's only live, because we got to pull the VOD immediately off of that. So go to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We're doing a bunch of fun stuff over there. Distraction Select launches this weekend.
Yes.
So Distraction Scoops.
By the way, guys, Jeremy, if you aren't showing footage on there, download the VOD, put it up on Scraps later on.
Yeah, that's what this weekend, that's what I'm sending
my watch hours up.
That's what I'm, if a lot of the Twitch videos are going up on Fightful Scrap. So go over there. You can see the Twitch videos from the past, and that's where they'll be. Distraction select. If we do have a Fightful app, you can turn your notifications on for just my post, and you can get all my great headlines. Apparently, I piss people off with headlines, or at least get a lot of cool tweets.
And guys, I feel like I need to push this because Jimmy got mad because I put out shirts that nobody buys because I think they're very funny. So I'm going to put this up on the screen. By the way, you can buy Booty Pro Wrestling shirts too. What was Saint Hannah's super chat? Oh, never mind. I already read that. But we've got a new shirt up on shop.fightful.com. That's metal in your lungs. Now available, shop.fightful.com. It is available in virtually any color, as are all of our shirts. So if you want a Fightful shirt and you want it in toothpaste color, have at it. Jeremy, we got one more super chat. I've watched the Matt Riddle digging holes about 30 times on Fightful Scraps. It's a good one. The people at Toy Vomit had me show them that. But Wade Miley's on the mound. We are out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.